Welcome to the Sportscast, November 15th, 2018, episode 2 for November 15th. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, and Periscope. And then if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We got Ryan Krista today. He is the sports Malay guy. I could talk sports, any sport he could talk about. I don't have to worry about, you know, any college football details. And Ryan, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Sounds good, Sandy. I'm glad to be here and love talking about one of my favorite things, and that's sports.
Exactly. Now, I do want to touch this. Butler to the Sixers. What are your thoughts?
Time will tell. Came in the other okay game last night. The Sixers did fall to the Magic. Obviously, he can't reach this in one game. It's just to see how long he can adjust to playing with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. I'm just going to say this. The Sixers desperately need to find more three-point shooting because Jimmy Butler is a decent three-point shooter, not a knockdown three-point shooter. Other than J.J. Redick right now, there is really little if no shooting on this team. They got rid of their two best three-point shooters, and that's Robert Covington and Darko Sockets, to get Jimmy Butler. So there's going to be some spacing issues they're going to have to work out. But, I mean, on paper, talent, this might be able, if it all works and they can get a piece or two, this may be able to push them over the edge against the Sixers.
Do you think...
against the Celtics, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so who are your top three in order from greatest to weakest?
On the Sixers team?
No, on the East.
On the East? I think it's Sixers, Raptors, Celtics, when they're all playing up to their potential. That's saying, on any given day, I think, what all comes down in the right now, Kawhi is playing, good basketball. But when things get tough for Kawhi, is he going to be able to push through and is he going to care enough to, lay it all on the line this year for the Raptors, knowing that, he's not really invested in the Raptors and probably won't be there next year.
Wow. Yeah, that's...
I do think that team is well put together. But, on paper, we talk about teams on paper in the NBA, but on paper is one thing, on the court is another thing. And the Celtics, they've just got so many, so many pieces. And this is, years in the making, this team, I know they're not playing probably up to potential right now, and I don't know if Gordon Hayward's playing with a little fear with his leg. Kyrie hasn't been the same, but I say give it time, give it to the All-Star break. If you look at the East, the bottom of the East is literally the biggest dumpster fire you could ever see. Right now I think there's a 5-8 team going to beat the AC if the season ended today. I know there's obviously many months of basketball left to play, but that's just, if that's any sign that, the East is so top heavy, it's not even funny.
Would you think now the East is more exciting and more competitive than the West?
The West, the West is interesting because you got Golden State, which is obviously in the league of their own. If you take out Golden State, you've got a lot of great basketball teams there, Santiago. The Rockets will get the crap together here. I think getting rid of Carmelo Anthony is addition by subtraction. They're a great team. The Jazz are a good team. The Spurs are playing well. Your usual suspects. The Lakers are turning it on. The Sixers and the Blazers are playing well. There's just a lot of great basketball teams on the West, and there's going to be, the Nuggets are. I could go on and on. The Kings, it's going to come down to the end, I think, for those final playoffs. But you're going to have a team, 52, 53 wins, maybe not make the playoffs this year in the West. But, the end of the West, it's all said and done unless the Warriors, completely fall apart.
Where do you think the Lakers will finish up at the end of the season?
Oh, they're turning it on. They started slow. They got to play some defense, Santiago.
But, 6-7 seed?
But yeah, you know, I could see anywhere from the, you know, sixth seed to not make. You know, like I said, there's going to be good teams that not make the playoffs this year because there's so much competition in the West.
Yeah, that's the thing. We're seeing good things from Portland. Houston, we're not seeing them have a good start from them, but, you know, it's...
You know, here's the thing with Houston, Santiago. You know, they lost a lot of pieces. They lost Trevor Ariza and Marvo Jante, who obviously in the stat line, they're not going to make a huge difference, but those guys are those tough glue guys. They play defense. You know, they made open three-pointers. And they were just, you know, you couldn't put a price value on them. So they leave, and now you bring in one of the world's worst defenders in Carmelo Anthony on the wing. You lose James Harden for a period of time. And then, most importantly, they lost the best coach on the sideline, and that's, you know, Jeff Buzek, who basically put together this, you know, this defense last year that was, you know, ranked as one of the highest rated defenses in the NBA. He goes away. You know, now they got an agreement for him to come back after Thanksgiving. So hopefully they'll change things up for the Rockets. I have no fear that this team is going to go on a 12 to 15 game winning streak here, you know, December, January, February, somewhere along those lines.
Well, that is our NBA recap of what's going on. I think Ryan is probably, from the sportscast crew, Ryan is the best. I mean, he's the best in all sports, but he's the only one that could cover the NBA really well.
I appreciate it, San Diego.
The other guys don't even look at the NBA till like after the All-Star game.
You know, a lot of people would like that because it's such a long and grueling season. But the games mean just as much in, you know, November and December as they do in March and April.
Do you think the Miami Heat might make the playoffs?
The way the East is, it would be sad if they didn't make the playoffs, Santiago. But, you know, they just haven't clicked, you know, yet, and it's so early. I know teams are still finding their way. You know, I think, you know, they will probably make a run at Carmelo Anthony here once he becomes probably either trade for him or, you know, after Rockets release him. Because I think he'll fit nicely, you know. You just got to find the right role. And I think Eric Spoelstra is one of the best minds in basketball. And he can find that, you know, that right role and give Carmelo that veteran's presence combined with Dwayne Wade, you know, to help this, you know. They've got some good young players on that team, you know. They just got to put it all together.
Yes, I've heard that rumor down here. I've been hearing that we should get Melo. But, of course, we just got to make the moves, you know. Let's switch over to college football. Let me read you the top 10 college playoff ranking. Number one is Alabama, Clemson, then Notre Dame, then Michigan, then Georgia, Oklahoma, LSU at seventh, Washington State, West Virginia, and Ohio State. How do you see the top 10?
Well, let's not forget about my favorite story of the year, and that's, again, the UCF Golden Knights.
Yes, they're at number 11th. Correct, yeah.
You know, I haven't checked the ratings on Tuesday's playoff ranking show, but I'm going to say they're probably the lowest ratings they probably had because all 10 teams in the playoff top 10 last week won, and they literally didn't move a spot. This is the same rankings they had as the previous week. You know, with the lineup of games this week, I don't see even a lot more movement, you know. I think all top 10 teams are favored to win their games, and they should win their games. You know, I guess the biggest threat for any upset would be Syracuse beating Notre Dame this week at a neutral site. But other than that, I don't see any upsets, and I think going into rivalry weekend, the weekend after Thanksgiving, you know, that's when things will really start heating up here for the playoffs.
Yeah, things are going to be really heated up. There is reports of Jalen Hurts not playing for the rest of the season. How complicated will this be for Alabama?
The biggest issue is now you've got, Tua's, knee hasn't been healthy for, a month or so. And, every game it seems like, the last couple weeks, he's had to basically limp to the finish or not finish the game at all. He's definitely not 100%. I think the only thing that's going to heal Tua's knee is just some rest. He should be able to get plenty of rest if they play the Citadel. So if they can get him healthy, going into the Auburn game and the SEC championship, this is probably not a big factor. What I hate for Jalen Hurts is that now he's played, in five games and probably won't play probably most of the rest of the season other than maybe the SEC championship. He might be available, and probably the bowl game and playoffs he'll be available. But, he's lost his year of redshirt, so now he's only got 1 year of eligibility left after he graduates if he wants to transfer to another school, which all likelihood he will. I think he was a good team player this year, and when reports came out in the spring, early summer, that he was, looking to transfer if he didn't win the starting job. But, him and Tua, I think they're great teammates. They cheer for each other. They want to win more than anything else. But, going into the last year, I do think Jalen Hurts, deserves a chance to be a starter again. Because this guy, went to the championship game 2 years in a row. He's lost two regular season games. I think this guy's a flat-out winner. He may not be the greatest thrower. We know that. But he's a spectacular athlete. And that's in college football. That's half the battle is your college. When you're a quarterback, just being that athlete and that ability to stretch out plays, and make plays when they're not there.
Well, that is our college football roundup. Let's talk about a little bit about NFL. This weekend, they had to move the game from Mexico City to LA and the Chiefs. Do you think that's a good indicator of who's the best in the NFL?
Oh, I don't know if that's an indicator, but it'll be a fun matchup. I mean, after ESPN's game where they had to show, the 2-7 49ers and the 1-8 Giants, they need probably a ratings boost. And, this is going to be probably one of the all-time, ratings games in Monday Night Football. And I think it had an appeal being game being played in Mexico City, but for whatever reason, I don't know if the NFL wasn't monitoring the field in Mexico City. All of a sudden pitchers showed up and it looked like a disaster. But you look at some of the fields, in the NFL in November and December, and especially in, Pittsburgh and Cleveland where the weather is terrible and, they use the field not just for NFL games but for, high school football team. Those fields are a disaster. So I don't know how bad it was, and it's probably not a good look for the NFL. They're trying to market their brand, not just the United States, but, beyond our borders here. And it's probably not a good look for, Mexico City in general that, they can't maintain, their prize field, one field there. So, all around, not really a good look for a lot of people, but that still shouldn't take away from this game being, spectacular. Two offenses that can score, two defenses that aren't playing well all year. So this will be a fun matchup, but in the end, like the Saints and Rams game a couple weeks ago, it was a fun game to watch, but, in the end, those two teams are going to play each other in the NFC Championship. In the end, these two teams can be playing the Super Bowl, which is going to be a lot more fun than, any game played in November.
Should be a good treat for Monday Night Football. Are you ready for some game predictions?
Let's do it, Santiago.
Syracuse versus Notre Dame at Yankee Stadium.
What a venue, Santiago. A classic name in college football, playing at a classic, venue of all sports. In November, the weather will be nice, crisp, and cool. When they made this game, I didn't expect this game to mean a whole lot, but it means a lot. Syracuse is having a dream season. They're 8-2. They're playing to play in a New Year's Six ball game. So there's so much on the line here. I'm going to go to my hometown, Syracuse. Syracuse Orange here with a big upset here. My man Eric Dungy throwing the ball all around. You know, I think it won't be a high-scoring game, but, you know, I think there'll be a lot of yards, maybe just not a lot of points. So I'm going to, you know, go with a 27-20 Syracuse victory.
That is what Ty was saying. There might be an upset. Iowa State at Texas.
It's interesting, you know, who are they, you know, every year, you know, we forget about the Iowa State Cyclones, you know, and every year their third string quarterback the last couple of years have come out and, you know, shocked them. Well, they got Brock Purdy here against, you know, Sam Ellinger, two quarterbacks playing, you know, out of their mind lately. You know, this should be a fun matchup, a lot on the line. You know, the winner of this game has a good chance of going to the Big 12 championship. The game's in Austin, so I'm just going to go with the Texas Longhorns.
Texas Longhorns wins at home. Cincinnati at UCF.
This is, you know, with a lot of, you know, not a lot of profile, high-profile matchups in the Power 5, you know, game day's heading down to Central Florida this week to kind of showcase not just UCF and their, you know, 22-game winning streak, but showcase a group of five. You know, the Cincinnati is no team to sneeze at. You know, one of the best defenses in college football. I think this will be, you know, a close game, but I'm going to go with the team with a little bit more history, and that's UCF.
UCF continues in their winning streak. Idaho at Florida.
I don't think my Gators good. You know, they're playing well. They have a good year, but, you know, even if they weren't having a good year, I don't think the Idaho Vandals will put much of in the way of stopping the Gators. There'll be a lot of chomping going down to the swamp on Saturday for sure.
Arizona State at Oregon.
Big matchup for Arizona State. You know, they can kind of control their destiny down in the Pac-12 South. You know, Oregon coming off a tough loss to Utah, you know, how hungry are they wanting to finish the year, knowing that they're not really playing for their division anymore? So Arizona State's going to, I'm going to go with the Sun Devils here.
The Sun Devils win in Oregon, upset, but Arizona has a lot to play for. Tonight, Green Bay at Seattle.
San Diego, before, you know, we go in the NFL, you know, one more upset special here.
Okay.
You know, with the SEC playing a lot of games against, you know, lower competition, I think there's one team with a lot of competition that has a great chance of winning this weekend, and that's the University of Alabama at Birmingham Blazers, 9-1. The feel-good story of college football here. This team 3 years ago didn't even exist. And I think they will go into College Station, maybe not win, but they'll push the fighting Jimbo Fisher to the end here.
Ooh, I did not spy on this game well. Okay, so UAB will pull an upset, hopefully. And back to the NFL, who do you have between the Packers and the Seahawks? Two weak teams.
This is, you know, kind of a must-win for these teams to kind of stay relevant here going towards the stretch run here in the NFL. I tried to go against Aaron Rodgers, but I'm going to go against Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to say Russell Wilson wins a big game here tonight.
Yeah, I think both teams have to find a win to stay in the playoff race. And finally, Monday Night Football, Kansas City at the Rams.
Well, one of my favorite teams to watch this year has definitely been the Los Angeles Rams. Great coaches, great players. Underachieving defense. I'm going to keep my eye on this defense tonight. They have so much talent. Aaron Donald, Dominican Sue, Marquise Peters. You know, money's being spent all over the field. But this team, you know, can't stop anything up in the running game. But I think this week, you know, I think they'll make just enough stops to stop Patrick Mahomes at home now. Now it's a home game. I think they will win this game against the Chiefs.
The Rams win it at home. Ryan, how can people reach you?
Best way is, you know, down on Twitter, MattDogReport, 18. You know, probably tweeting about the Gators, Broncos, Liberty, anything like that.
Yeah, Liberty is having a okay season. Ryan Krista, I really appreciate you coming on to the sportscast.
All right, Santiago. Glad to talk. Hopefully be back here soon.
Will do, man. See ya.